Hello, everybody. Do you love bedtime stories that spark the imagination? Bed Critters is the delightful children's book that brings crazy creatures and sleepy time magic to life. Now available on Amazon. Just search Bed Critters or look for it wherever you buy books. Hey, book fans. This is Kennedy Weibel from Reading Pop Classics. And you're listening to our TBR minisode. Summer is here where Rebecca and I live, and the time has gotten away from us a little bit. Work projects, some trips have come up. We are a little bit behind on our next episode for Reading Pop Classics, where we're doing My Brilliant Friend by Elena Ferrante. But we will be back with that in, I'm going to say, a week to 2 weeks. That new episode will be out. In the meantime, though, putting out this quick little minisode just to give you something to listen to, and talking about to be read coming up, things beyond just the books that are to be read for the podcast, things that I'm reading in general. And we're going to do a look back on recently to be reads. No, that's not right. I don't know, done already been reads, I guess, if you want to call it that. So we're going to start with the done already been reads, which, let's see, we're going to go back to April, let's see, where I read Barefoot Gen, Volume 1, by Keiji Nakazawa. This is a graphic novel about a family in Hiroshima in the year or so leading up to the dropping of the atomic bomb by the Enola Gay. So, not super cheerful. The Japanese father in the book is very opposed to the war, and he gets the whole family labeled as traitors as a result. And the narrative follows this family, particularly Jen, that's with a G, G-E-N. He has one older brother, one older sister, and one younger brother. So he is the second to last rung on the ladder of children in the family. It follows him specifically, and it's just the family's life in Japan, the state of Japan, the mental state of the people around them during World War II, during the fighting, and leading up to the dropping of the atomic bomb, which closes out this first volume of the book. It's obviously sad. It's really enjoyable. I really liked it. Highly recommend it. If you've read the graphic novel Mouse by Art Spiegelman or Palestine by Joe Sacco, you'll really like this. It's a work of that kind of importance and that kind of magnitude. Using the medium of the graphic novel to tell the story in a way that doesn't quite come across the same way as it does in narrative. Persepolis by Marjane Satrapi falls into this category as well. There is a little something about the Japanese style of art that I find, I don't know, I'm not used to it, I suppose, looking at it with Western eyes, but the characters' facial expressions, the way they smile, the way their reactions are portrayed to elements of surprise or beats at the end of a little story within the larger narrative, I find sometimes incongruous with what's happening to them, but it's interesting to see, and it's interesting to read it. It's an element of the style that is common to the area, and those of you who are a little more familiar with manga or animes or anything like that are probably very used to it, and it's probably something that works a little more seamlessly within the narrative for you. And the done already read that pile is also James by Percival Everett. I'm not going to go over that one. You can listen to our episode on James by Percival Everett wherever you listen to podcasts, wherever you're listening to this podcast, this mini. Also read in the not-too-distant past is a book called Heartless Hunter by Kristen Ciccarelli. This was a book club pick, and I'm a good sport. I don't particularly like fantasy. There's nothing wrong with that genre. I merely don't like it. That's it. But I don't particularly like fantasy. I don't particularly like reading YA novels. Again, nothing wrong with it. I merely don't care for it. And this was a YA fantasy book. I did not enjoy any part of reading this, but it's about witches, and I don't know, they used to run the land where this book takes place, and they were cruel, rich, and powerful, and the main character, Rune, is a witch, but in secret, and people rose up and killed all the witches, and Rune wants to save witches now, and I don't know, is a little bit unconcerned that they seem to have been legitimate terrors, but she's in love with two boys, as you can imagine, one more than the other. The one that she loves more than the other is, on the surface of it, a far less compatible match for her. And the other one is the obvious choice for anyone with a brain. But, you know, the heart wants what it wants. And that's the book. Like I said, I didn't enjoy it. I will say that it was a little smarter than I was anticipating. The whole piece about the witches being rather horrible when we hear about them and Rune wanting to help bring them back to power is actually addressed in kind of a sophisticated way. I won't give out any spoilers for those of you who are going to wade through this as part of a series. I'm not going to finish the series. I'm not particularly interested in how it ends. I assume it all works out. But it was a little better than I thought, but I don't know. I wouldn't seriously recommend it to an adult. I know some of you like these things. Great, enjoy it, but I'd say you can skip it. Next thing read, Catching the Big Fish by David Lynch. This is a short and pleasant book focusing largely on meditation and art by David Lynch, with some fairly straightforward ideas about creativity and how to foster it in there. It's short. If you like David Lynch, highly recommend. If you're listening to this going, who's David Lynch? You give this one a pass. Also read Waiting to Exhale. Again, won't go through it here, but you can listen to the episode wherever you're listening to this episode, because we did it on Reading Pop Classics. And then the last book that I read before Elena Ferrante's My Brilliant Friend, it is completed, we just need to record. The last one that I read was The Woman Who Borrowed Memories by Tove Jansson. I'm probably saying that wrong. Tove Jansson is a Swedish-speaking Finnish author. That's how she's described online. I don't have any background on that sort of distinction, but a Swedish-speaking Finnish author who is, I believe, best well-known for a comic strip called Moominland. I don't know what that is, but I got a hold of a collection of her short stories, and those rock. Highly recommend. Some of them are really short, easily digestible. You can read them quick. Some of them are a little longer. It's a short story collection. Skip around through it, but highly recommend that one. So that's the done, been read pile. Moving on to the to be read pile. There is, of course, Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin. That is the episode we are doing after My Brilliant Friend by Elena Ferrante. That one's in the to be read pile. I have not actually cracked that one yet, but it's coming with me this weekend and I will get it started then. Currently reading, beside that, a book called The Sublime Object of Ideology by Slavoj Žižek. He's a Slovenian philosopher who I first came across in a sort of film essay that he made called A Pervert's Guide to Ideology, and I enjoy him. This book, The Sublime Object of Ideology, is the kind of thing they assign you in like a philosophy 300 or 200 level course. I can't say that it's particularly light reading, and I would not generally recommend it to anybody. You kind of know if you enjoy reading something like this, but I do, because even though some of it is over my head, and even though some of it references other readings and other philosophers and thinkers that I am not familiar with, Lacan, Kant, yeah, I know these names, and I'm sure I was introduced to pages of their work at the very least at some point in college, but they have not stayed with me, and I don't really know anything about their deep thoughts or the works or what they have contributed to modern thought. But despite that, this is a book that has definitions of the unconscious, like the form of thought whose ontological status is not that of thought, and that refers to the sort of assumed truths that we all see in our lives as the theater in which your truth was performed before you took cognizance of it, and that calls ideology a social reality whose very existence implies the non-knowledge of its participants as to its essence, and that has sections talking about morality itself put into the service of immorality, and that goes on further to call ideology a system which makes a claim to the truth, which is not simply a lie, but a lie experienced as truth. And I'm a sucker for all that kind of thing. So currently reading that, would not recommend generally. It's probably not enjoyable for a lot of people. It's debatable whether or not it's enjoyable to me, but I love coming across sentences like that and phrases like that. So I'm wading through that one. The next thing I'm also currently reading is a book called The Will of the Many by James Islington? Another book club pick. Another fantasy book. It's pretty good, though, so far. I don't know. A little more than 100 pages into it. I will say my heart sank a little bit when I found out that it was about a young man who was going to go to a special school where he has to do something. That's a trope I'm already tired of, and I don't read a lot of this kind of thing. But I will say, this is a pretty enjoyable read so far. It's a little long for book club, I gotta say. I'm not sure that a lot of us are going to actually complete it. I will, but the members of my book club, and they know who they are, a lot of them are going to show up, got a third of the way through it, and they're going to be lying about the third. But if you like fantasy books and you like really, really large scale world building where the author has taken pains to consider things like economics and the way different regions within the world relate to one another politically and the different languages people might speak and the way that the names are written phonetically and pronounced based on those languages and all this kind of thing, this is the book for you. It's book one in I don't know how many. I think it's a relatively new book. It's in something called the Hierarchy series. But if you like all that kind of stuff and a book where a young person goes to a special school for people in this fantasy world, this is the book for you. And then finally, another one that I am currently reading is Squeeze Me by Carl Hiaasen, which is real simple fastball down the middle fun fiction to read. I started to say on the beach, but it doesn't really matter. A geriatric socialite goes missing at a fancy party for, I think, IBS, a charity ball for IBS, which is already funny. And there is, running parallel to this narrative, another lady, a wise cracking animal control officer, looking for a giant missing snake that's out there somewhere. So that's the setup for that one. I love Carl Hiaasen. They are easy, fun, funny books to read. I know funny is always a little bit subjective, but trust me on this one. I think these are pretty funny. He's been at it for a while. He has a new one out called Fever Beach, if you want to skip right to his newest one, but highly recommend anything by him. I've not gotten very far through this book, but I will blanket recommend Carl Hiaasen. Good, clean fun. So those are physical books that I'm reading. The one that's going on my Kindle app in my phone is All Fours by Miranda July, which is a really pleasantly weird and funny book. Funny being subjective, naturally. Highly recommend that one also. And then audiobook, I am listening to Bill Bryson's A Short History of Nearly Everything, which is interesting. I will say, I don't know how much of it I'm going to actually retain. It's a lot of really interesting little factoids and small bits of scientific discovery and the history of, I don't know, different eccentric characters and their quibbles and squabbles with one another and their own struggles to discover the things they discovered, whether it's dark stars or the fact that something rotates around something else or elements or whatever it is. But it comes pretty fast, pretty hard and fast. And I'm not sure, even as I listen to it, I just don't see myself remembering any of the people's names that I didn't already know going into it. By the time a little piece of knowledge is presented to me and I've kind of thought about it, we're already on to the next thing so quickly that I don't really get time to digest it. But I am enjoying listening to it in the moment while it's on and while it's playing, either in my car or while I'm at the gym or whatever it is that I'm, whatever it is I do with my time, mow the lawn, wherever it is I'm listening to this. So I would recommend it. Don't come asking me facts about it, though, after I finished it. So that's the done read that and the to be read pile. As I mentioned at the top of this, we are coming back with My Brilliant Friend by Elena Ferrante in the next week to 2 weeks. You should see a new episode up, and we will be following that up with Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin. Both of those upcoming episodes. And after that, we are doing A Man Called Ove by Frederick Bachman. Thank you to everyone who writes in and comments at readingpopclassics@gmail.com. We appreciate that. We like hearing your nice thoughts and comments about the episodes and things that you've enjoyed. And again, we take pains to write you back because we appreciate that you are writing to us. Follow us on Instagram, also at Reading Pop Classics, and you can also find us on Lit Salon at Reading Pop Classics as well. That's it for this mini-sode. Thank you for your patience as we get the next main episode ready. Hope you're enjoying summer, if it's summer where you are, and we hope you're enjoying winter, I guess, if you're on the other side of the equator from us. Thanks so much. Have a great one.